So it's actually very sad that the author of this work, Muhammad Ansari, couldn't come here just due to some stupid biased visa policies. So, and as his friend, so I offered to present his work on his behalf. So Professor Lee Smolin this morning, before his talk, he claimed something that his talk is the one where the speaker has least something to do with the works. However, that's not true. This is the one. I have nothing to do with this work. I do this only because our friendship. So I won't be responsible for anything I'm going to say. So... I have a picture for Muhammad at the end of this talk. Yeah, if you would like to appreciate this work, you can thank him. If you want to throw tomatoes or eggs, find him. Okay. So, and by the way, if you want to ask questions, if you're very serious about the answers, please ask Muhammad Ansari directly via emails, or Professor Lee Smolin also offered the help to handle some of the questions. Okay, here we go. The title is Quantum of Area and its Spectroscopy. Basically, in this talk, I'm going to show you two new properties of quantum of area. First is the so-called ladder symmetry, and second is the degeneracy. And then is the fluctuations of the black hole horizon. Here's the motivation. Motivation is actually, this work is actually motivated by the so-called isolated horizon strategy proposed by Professor Abhay Ashtekar. This strategy, firstly, is constructed a classical sector which behaves like a black hole, and such that we can pull back the canonical variables to this sector and do the quantization, do the loop quantum gravity quantization, and the consequence is that it gives rise to a finite number of independent degrees of freedom, such that we can calculate quantities like black hole entropies. However, there are some major limitations of this work, of this strategy. There are some major limitations. First, we know from classical GR, we know that the metric actually extends through the horizon of black holes via the junction conditions. However, in the isolated horizon strategy, spin networks doesn't go into the horizon. And moreover, the quantum horizon must be actually localized as a kind of quantum boundary of the interior and exterior. However, in the isolated picture, this is it's localized classically, but not quantum mechanically. And the last limitation is that none of the SU2-valued tangential edges on a spin network is allowed on this horizon or on this surface. So based on this, Muhammad, proposed a new paradigm of defining such a quantum black hole. The idea is to define a quantum black hole in the underlying manifold, which splits the embedding geometry into exterior and interior by a layer of subdiagrams. This layer of subdiagrams actually allows vertices in the SU2 valued edges of the spin network to be sitting on this layer of boundary, and it actually. In doing so, all those included quanta of area, which actually been included in the isolated horizon picture, was again included in this picture. And then the horizon is actually described by a SU2 to the m valued wave function. A picture of such a horizon can be seen in this. These are those vertices sitting on this horizon, and these are those tangential edges which bound the whole surface. So there are kinematics and dynamics which are governed by gauge invariance and surface diffeomorphism invariance, Hamiltonian invariance, and so on and so forth, which are familiar to most of you. Then, how can we really do something with this layer of so-called horizon? We need to actually find out the area quanta of it, and it can be shown that for a piece of this horizon, There are many vertices sitting on the horizon, and many wedges coming or coming out. So we define all those edges above this piece of area to be so-called J up, and those below are called J down, JD. And these JU plus D are actually the sum of the tangential part of this of these edges, the tangential part of the gauge group representation of these edges. So this JU and JU plus JD given to JU and JD are given actually values between JD minus JU and JD plus JU. So these are the cases. This is the maximum case where JU and JD have the tangential vectors in the same direction, completely in the same direction. This is another extremal case, give the minimum, which is when JU and JD have completely opposite tangential vectors along the horizon. So these are some intermediate cases. And in doing so, it can be shown that the area eigenvalues can be casted in such a format. And moreover, this can be put into a more concise format, which is this formula. There's some notations defined by the author Mohammed. So the chi is called a kind of group characteristic parameter, because he considered two types of representations, SU3 or SU2. So, and the chi have two different values in these two representations respectively. And this zeta, it also has two different types. In SO3, it's called square free numbers, which are those numbers whose prime factors is never repeated. For example, a 15 is such a number, but 18 is not, because 18 has 3 times 3 times 2, can be factorized like that. So, and this is in the SO3 case. In SO2 case, zeta is called discriminants of or quadratic positive definite forms, and there are numbers like these. N is valued in natural numbers, excluded from zero probably. So this is the new form of the quanta of area. And zeta, in the next couple of slides, you will see that zeta can be actually called the generation representative, because that'll be it'll manifest this meaning when we talk about the spectroscopy of black hole. And this is I forgot to mention the most important thing, the ladder symmetry. The ladder symmetry can be reflected in these numbers and these numbers and the integral numbers. So the next point, new property, is the degeneracy of this area quanta. Because due to this equation, one can see that there are many different values or combinations of JU, JD, JU plus JD, which will give you the same value of the area quanta. So these are some examples which give you the same area quanta square root of 2 times a naught. And these are some pictorial examples of these combinations. So you can see, for example, in this case, if you have two vertical edges which are normal to the surface, and these two have their tangential vectors that are in the same direction, and they have different values, then you can actually find out that the area quanta in this case are the same given by all these diagrams. So, and given by this degeneracy, we are ready to calculate the entropy of this quantum black hole. And I don't know why Mohammed didn't show that in his slides. He sent his slides to me, but he didn't show it here. So I would not mention that explicitly, but he has a conclusion at the end. So, and these are some plots he made. In these plots, compare two cases, SO3 and SO2. In these two cases, you can see that in the SO2 case, there are more degeneracies than in the SO3 case. But why this is so, the author doesn't know. And moreover, the degeneracy actually doesn't grow as a power law, but actually exponentially, because the degeneracy of the quanta on a higher level is not just also depends on the degeneracy of the previous ones. So you can see that this means the degeneracies, G1 is actually a function of A1, G2 is a function of A2. So if you go higher and higher, you can see that the nth level degeneracy is given by G1 to the n, proportional to one to the n. So now let's move on to the quantum fluctuations of this horizon area. So for a large black hole, we can see that the relation between area and the black hole mass can be given in this form, in this formula, and their quanta, which is actually a variation of both sides, can be we can find out that the delta A is proportional to delta M. So by means of this, we find out that there are two types of decays happen on this horizon. The first one is generational, and the second one is intergenerational. Let's see what they are. So if you still remember this zeta in the previous formula, which we call the generation representative. Sorry. So this is actually the first generation, and we can see harmonic decays because each of these decays has exactly the same frequency. And there are these are higher generations, and there are also decays between these generations. And there, and it's obvious that there are much more generational decays than the number of intergeneration decays. So this will give rise to a so-called quantum amplification effect. So because the population of harmonic frequencies, which means the frequency of the decay within the same generation, the population of these kind of frequencies exceeds the number of the decays in the intergeneration decays, which are called inharmonics. Sorry. So here's an example. So for such a black hole, the mass is 10 to the 12, and this given area and temperature, it can be shown that the horizon is 40 order of magnitude larger than the quantum of area. So this is the so-called quantum amplification effect defined by the order. This is the intensity power spectrum showing the different radiations. So the higher ones are actually the lower frequency ones. The top the lower ones are those for the higher frequency ones. And the line width is very, very narrow. It's only one ten thousand of the harmonic frequencies. And if you look at an intersection of the spectrum, you can see these bright lines of the lower frequencies, and this is the one of the harmonic frequency, and these are the line widths for such an example of a black hole. So here's some conclusions. So in this work, the author presented a different paradigm for defining a quantum black hole, and he calculated black hole entropy, and also some macroscopic effect of a black hole radiation, for example the spectroscopy and the quantum amplification effect. So all these details can be found in his in the author's paper in 2006. Actually, it's the last one in 2006 of the author. So this is some comparison between the quantum isolated horizon approach and the spin never paradigm approach proposed by the author. So in both of these strategies actually give rise to the Bekenstein-Hawking entropy of black hole. However, they have difference in the logarithm corrections to this entropy. The quantum isolated horizon approach gives rise to a negative correction. However, the spin network approach proposed a positive correction to this Bekenstein-Hawking entropy. And moreover, this new paradigm also gives rise to quantum effects in black hole radiation. So this actually concludes all the work in the papers of the author in 2006. And this is the end of the talk. Here's the picture of the author. So your target for him.
Okay, so I'm not sure we should discuss the work without the upper, so maybe we just, unless somebody, oh, and maybe,
I think that the nice thing would be if somebody has a question.
Okay, if somebody has some
I think the first transparency when you did it isolate, what was it isolated price of it? I was manifestly clear that the author did not bring it to that work with you. Isolated price of framework has many, many, many limitations. But the few that you pointed out, it's just misunderstanding or not reading the paper, basically. The reason why, there is actually isolated horizon boundary condition, and it is that boundary condition which reduces. The group is SU2, but that group is reduced SU1 to U1 by the isolated horizon boundary condition. So it's not something that's just done by hand. The first thing was about interior versus exterior. Well, I mean, it's a paradigm that even the classical theory, one does a phase space formulation with an interior boundary and quantizes the sector. So therefore it's very natural if you do such a quantization that you do not have interior, because even classically in this framework one does not have interior. And I forgot the third point, but there was also some misunderstanding there. But my main kind of worry about this is basically say again.
So they're
completely allowed. I mean I can't in detail. And so tangential edges are definitely allowed there. There is no question about it. the worry I have about this is that where is the black hole? I mean, this is so any two surface, this is all true. And the second worry that I have is that one gets all this eigen degeneracies, which is very nice, and then one just writes that from possible transition amplitudes. But that's not how we do transition amplitudes in atomic physics. There has to be coupling to an external photon in atomic physics. And here, I don't see any coupling anywhere here. These are just kinematical things, which is not how the real world works. I think that there are many, many, many directions in which our understanding of entropy and black hole radiation is incomplete. I just want to say it right away.
Sure.
But I think this is somehow missing the mark.
But here, I may have three comments. So the first is about the U1 and SU2. So as understood by the author, not me, okay, he thought that the U1 is actually, the SU2 is actually excluded without any physical reasoning. Okay, so the second is, to my understanding, this is for a more generalized kind of closed two surface bounded by such a kind of embedded spin networks with vertices and SU2 label tangential vectors. So that's what I understood from his work. If it is, the third one, Jesus, I just forgot my third one. Yeah, sorry about it.
Okay, the chairman of the organization.
Just a comment that there will be a talk by Jacobo, where he will comment on this last transparency where it seemed like in the isolated crisis there's nothing about spectroscopy.
Okay, I mean this one.
Passes on this side, the story of the world, and about that. Thank you.